And then next week will be our final week, and then it's going to be Good Friday. So I think all these talks that we've been having so far are really good in the lead up to Passion Week, because they're sort of things that we really need to focus on during Passion Week. So hopefully today will help us. If you have any questions, if they're really important, stick your hand up if not. And yeah, we'll pass over to me.
Mina, can you just say a short prayer for us, please?
Speak to you and to all of your blessings. We ask you that you make our hearts receptive to the message that you prepared for us, and please will give us the opportunity to put in practice the things that we have heard and hear us. Lord, as we pray thankfully, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hear us today our daily bread, who is our trespasses, and we forgive those trespasses against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, our Lord.
I thought that's one way to calm you down. So, all right, so jumping over the hurdle of perseverance. And if I want you to remember one thing out of today's talk, it's this verse. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So let's say it all together, and hopefully by the end of the talk you'll all remember this verse. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. All right? So, this is a curve that I can relate to and everybody else can relate to. When we start new year, we all decide we're going to exercise, we're going to do a lot of, you know, get very fit and so on, and we're going to do, you know, run 10 kilometers every day and be disciplined in what we do and so on. And then what happens as the year progresses, we decline slowly. And I'm sure that everybody of us can relate to that, or at least I can. What's this graph? Who can guess?
What kind of graph?
A positive
So, this is the actual graph of the pre-servants Bible studies. When we start pre-service, everybody does their Bible study. First week, second week, a couple of them slacken off. Third week, about four or five slacken off. By week six or seven, we usually end up having four or five people doing their Bible studies. I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but I spent 5 years in pre-servants, and I can definitely tell you that that's the graph of people doing their Bible studies. We can't relate, Daniel, can we?
I think I can.
All right. Why do we tend to slacken off? Why don't we submit Bible studies? Why don't we exercise? Why don't we do this? All of that sort of stuff. Because... Hiya, Matt. Because we tend to lose sight of the goal. We forget what we're doing all of this for. So you walk into pre-servants and they talk you through all of this, and they tell you do Bible studies and do things, and we tell you pray, and we tell you, you know, fast and do all these things. But we forget what we're doing it for. We lose the sight of what we're doing this for, the ultimate goal. Like when I talked to Uncle Magdi this year and I said to him, Uncle, I'm going to have to serve year 10, and they're apparently a hard class, and, you know, girls in year 10, you know. Oh, my lips, sorry. Maggie's daughter. No, it's not your daughter.
Makes sense.
I'm going to say that about another
year 10
class.
Anyway, answer the year 10 class. And he said to me, Mandy, you need to do one thing. Keep their eye on what the goal is. Keep their eye that ultimately their goal is heaven. And I think we did that the first week, and we said to them, why are we here for? Why do we come to church? Why do we do all of this? And we said our goal is eventually heaven. And the problem is we lose sight of the goal. We lose why we come to church for. We tend to come to church, do the routine, do everything else, and we forget why we're doing this for. And we forget that ultimately we want to get to heaven. The other thing that tends to be classic is we tend to be impatient. You sit in a traffic jam, and what happens? You're looking at your watch, you're bored. I'm the first one who starts to change lanes and, you know, gets bored and very impatient. So by nature, as a generation, especially you guys, not me, but the younger generation, tends to be very impatient. We don't have time. We're too busy. We're too sucked in our life and things like that to persevere with things. Like if something's too hard, we tend to just, oh, I give up. It's too hard. I'm not going to continue. They want me to do, you know, to pray every day. They want me to do my tanyas every day. They want me to fast, you know, 3/4 of the year. Too hard. Or they want me to be the doorkeeper, as Mina was saying. Too hard. I give up. So the path is narrow. And I call this generation, or I heard a nice expression, is we tend to be a microwave generation. We want things done, 2-minute noodles. We want things done quickly. If it doesn't happen quick, it's too bored, too long. Instant response. Patience is not a quality that we possess as a generation. I want you to think about people who, in the Bible, who really were great examples of perseverance. So if we want to think about perseverance and persisting with something, let's think about who are good examples in the Bible. Tell me some names that you can think of. Sorry, you said what? Monica? Did you say something?
No.
Abraham. Yes. Who were good examples of perseverance, guys? I want from
Joe.
You.
Joe?
Who said Joe?
Oh, Jericho.
Why, Dave? Sam.
Sam said it. I'm just guessing he's stuck with God, even though through all the
tribulations and the problems that he had, yeah? All right, so if we... There's a couple of examples that I've put in the next slide. Oh, maybe not. Sorry. I'll come back to this later. So a couple of examples of perseverance in the Bible. Job, and we see him in the first photo there where he had a lot of sores. So a lot of you guys know that he lost his family and things like that, but you actually don't know that he became very, very sick to the extent that his wife was telling him, come on, what are you still persevering with this God for? You know, give up. So Job is a great example. Who's the other person there with the stars in the sky? Who said Abraham? Well, that's Abraham. Who could tell me why? So Abraham was another guy who persisted in the Bible, and we know that he persevered so much in the Bible. He was promised that he's going to have children like the stars in the sky, but he didn't have his son for hundreds of years, for years and years and years, yet he was still persevering, still waiting for the promise. He was still waiting for the promise. And the last one down the bottom there is Jacob. And I'm sure that all of you know the story when Jacob wrestled with God. And Jacob was there and he was wrestling with God and saying, I'm not going to leave you until you bless me. How many of us stand, for example, and pray or fast and say, God, I'm not going to leave you until you bless me. I'm not going to let go until you give me what I want. Jacob physically fought until he got what he wanted. He was so adamant that he's going to get what he wanted. If we go back to the slide, this year we put in the effort, which is in the orange graph, we put in this much effort in our spiritual life, and it's all over the place, declines. Yet our expectation is that our results are going to keep going up. We want to be spiritual, we want to serve, we want to be the best and so on. But the effort that we're putting doesn't match. We don't put enough effort there in our spiritual life. We don't take it seriously enough to persist with it all the time. We want to plant seeds and have them grow up tomorrow. and we say, hey, come on, I prayed tonight. Why didn't I get a result straight away? We're the only thing that grows overnight is the weeds that are up in the right-hand side, and there's plenty of them in my backyard. So we put the seed, and we're expecting the results straight away. Straight away, we're expecting that we're going to be holy, that we're going to be spiritual, whereas these guys persisted for years, years and years and years, waiting for the result to happen. Now, I want to talk a bit about Satan's tricks and some of the things that he tells us. So, some of the things that he tricks us with is he says, I'm not focused on whatever spiritual activity I'm doing. I'm just ticking a box. I might as well give up. You know, I'm just praying because I just want to tick a box. I'm not really feeling it. I don't feel anything. I'm not emotional. I'm going to give up. Another thing is we say, quality, this is one of my favorite, quality versus quantity. And we go, I'm just going to fast the last couple of weeks in the Lent because it's quality versus quantity. Or I'm going to pray 2 minutes because it's quality versus quantity. And we trick ourselves with this, by the way, guys. This is a trap that we fall into, to say it's quality versus quantity. We really need to think about quality and quantity, not just quality versus quantity. But we tend to think of one and not the other. The other one that's, I'm too busy, everything else comes first. My assignments, my homework, my social life, my shopping for this side of the story, and so on, tends to always come first versus doing everything else that's related to God or related to my spiritual life. It tends to take a second priority in general. Another thing that we tend to fall in is everyone's in the same boat. We're all not doing our Bible studies. Oh, so I feel good about it. We're all not. We're all coming late to the Mass. We're coming late to the youth meeting. So I feel good about it. Everybody comes late. That's all right. So I feel all right about it. Oh, all my friends are not fasting. So I feel all right about it. Where is my benchmark? I want you to think about who's your benchmark. Put your benchmark up high. Your benchmark is Christ. Your benchmark is not the friends that are around you that are behaving in a certain way or doing a certain thing. Where is your benchmark? Think about who your benchmark is. Another trap that Satan lets us fall in all the time is he asks us to make decisions quickly. So Eve was tricked into that. Quick, make a decision. Quick, quick, quick. We're too impatient. Okay, I'm going to sin. I'm going to do this wrong thing. I'm going to do... and we lose patience, and we tend to sin straight away or fall into a trap straight away. Tribulations is another area when we're really feeling pressure or feeling, a strong temptation or something like that. That's when we give up and we don't persevere in our relationship with Christ. Although some people persevere more in tribulations, but other people give up in tribulations. And as I said, no results, I can't feel it emotionally, there's no difference, I might as well give up. And as I said, we're expecting the results straight away. We talk a bit, I want to read the verse here, which... Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. As I said before, we lose sight of our goal. We lose sight that our ultimate goal is heaven. So we tend to take it quite lightly and take our spiritual life quite lightly as well. Even though you don't know when your life can end, even though you don't know when you're going to go, but you tend to take it lightly, thinking, oh, I'll become spiritual later. Please slow down and think about your spiritual life. Next time you're stuck in a traffic jam or something like that, take the opportunity and say, it's an opportunity for me to think about it. Your spiritual life is a race, and you have to, or it's a war, and you are in a fight. Take it seriously. Do not give up, but at the same time, try and slow down the pace of your other life, of everything else around you, and focus on Christ. Focus on your ultimate goal eventually. There's a James is full of verses about patience, and he says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Patience will make you perfect. There's no other virtue that the Bible talks about that says it will make you perfect except for patience. Enjoy the ride. I'll tell you a story about a monk there who used to pray so much, and then Satan got so upset with him and said, you know, I'm sick of this guy. I can't get him to stop praying, and he keeps persevering with his spiritual life. So he said, one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to make him feel sick. So God allowed him to let him feel a tribulation. So he started feeling sick and sweating and so hard. And the monk said, oh my God, it looks like I'm going to die soon. I'd better pray more. And everything that Satan would do for him, the monk would reverse it and say, I'd better pray more. I'd better do more. I'd better take my spiritual life more seriously. Satan gives us the tiniest trap and we go fall into it straight away. Leave our spiritual life. Oh, this thing. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll leave my spiritual life and focus on this. We fall into the trap very, very easily. Sometimes, as I said, we just have to do it. Sometimes you just have to do things. If you're not feeling the emotion, or if you're not persisting with your spiritual life, or if you're not getting out of it what you get in confession, just do it. So sometimes, even if you're not, and remember night there, even if you're not, if you feel it's a routine, keep with the routine, because one thing that Satan will make you fall into is break your routine very, very quick. If you started with doing matanyas, for example, on a regular basis, he will make sure that he breaks this routine. If you were regular in your Bible reading, as you all were in your HSC, for example, he will make sure that he breaks that routine. If you were regular in attending the Mass from the beginning, or being a deacon or whatever, he'll make sure that he breaks that for you. Guys, be careful. If your routine is being broken, just do it. Make sure you enjoy the ride. One bishop woke up one day and he said, you know what? I'm going to decide that I'm going to be God today. So this bishop woke up and he said, I'm going to be God. He went down and he said, okay, everybody, anybody that asks something from me today, I'm going to give it to them because I'm God. So people started walking up to him, hey, we need some money because we've got this family here. Okay, sure, here, take it. And then another guy walks up and he says, oh, my daughter is getting married. Can you please give us some money to do this? Sure. And people were getting their requests granted one after the other. Everybody started going outside and telling everybody, queue got longer. You know, the bishop is standing there all day because he decided to be God. And then he notices this guy standing there and he says to him, okay, what do you want? And he says to him, nothing at the moment. So the guy stands in the side and the bishop got tired. He wants to sit down, but God doesn't get tired, so he better continue doing the request. Towards the end of the day, he's getting hungry and so on, but he still had to persist because God does that. He doesn't stop. He doesn't sleep either. And then this man came again, and the bishop asked him, and he said to him, what do you want? He said, I just wanted to know you. I heard so much about you. I wanted to know you. The bishop said, this man is the man who touched my heart the most. I was prepared to do anything for him, anything, because all he wanted to do was know me. He didn't come because he wanted a certain request, because he wanted a certain thing. All he wanted to do was just get to know me more and more. And he said, at that moment, whatever this man would have asked, I would have given it to him. And this is exactly what we need to do with Christ. Get to know him. Get to enjoy the ride. Get to spend time with him. I really like this. God takes time to listen. If someone takes time to pray, take time. Spend time with him. Take some quiet time and go and spend it with him. Go and in your Lent, in the last 2 weeks, by the way, this is a talk for me more than for you guys, then let's spend some time with him, because he will take time to listen to you if you put in the effort, if you persevere, really persevere. remember all the time, guys, not in the good time only or in the bad times only, because the Bible says towards the end of the times is really when you will need to persevere, and he who endures will be saved, as we said at the beginning. During studying, you guys, as I said, I mentioned the HC, during studying, you guys would have been so spiritual at that time. You persevere during your hard times. We forget him during the good times. We forget our routine during the good times, all the time, guys. In terms of the results, this verse, if you can remember it, and let us not grow weary of doing God for doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. I remember when the first class I served, there was a girl that I'd call, and she'd go, "Yeah, what do you want?" And I'd go, "Oh, all right." You know, I was still new, and she'd go, "Oh, okay, I'll go Sunday school, you know, come church, all right." And she'd almost, you know, be prepared to hang up. And then I kept trying to call her, persisting with calling her. In the end, she, you know, she would say hi to me or tell me about how was her day at school, you know, and so on. I went to Uncle Mangia. I said to him, "Uncle, I give up. I cannot do anything with this girl. She's just not willing to listen." And he said to me, "Is it your work or God's work?" I said to him, "It's God's work." He goes, "Is the result yours or is the result God's?" I go, "It's God's result." He goes, "Then it's none of your business. A drop of water as it falls," and I remember this so clearly. He said to me, "A drop of water as it falls on a rock, it's going to eventually make a hole. Eventually, this girl will come back." By the way, this girl still hasn't come back. I still call her on a regular basis. Every now and then she'll go, "Oh, I knew you would surface somewhere." And we would talk, and, you know, we have a relationship. She still hasn't come back. I still pray and I still hope that one day she will come back. It's not my business. The results are not mine. The results are not yours. When you pray, don't wait for tears or emotions or anything like that, because they don't happen very quickly. Don't wait for that. What will happen quickly is that you will feel an inner peace inside you, but don't worry about the results. The results are not yours. The results are Christ's. As I said, a drop of water that falls will eventually make a cave and will eventually make the stalactites and whatever they're called. It will eventually happen, but it's not your business. It may happen in 100 years, but it's not your work. You all know the story of the monk with the basket, where he went to his confession father, and his confession father said to him, and he said to him, "Look, I give up. I'm not willing to spend any time doing this spiritual business." And he said, "I'm leaving the monastery." And then I'll repeat the story quickly for those who don't know it. And he said to him, "Take a basket, go wash it." So he did that a few times, and obviously go fill it with water. He'd come back, the basket would be empty by the time he'd walk back. And then he said to him, "Have you noticed anything different in the basket?" And he said, "It's a lot cleaner." So guys, when you pray, when you fast, when you do things, even if you're not feeling the emotion, as I said, you'll eventually be a lot cleaner. Persevere with it. Persevere with the routine. I want to read those stories, and someone with a loud voice. Monica? No?
I can't read.
Okay. Sam, can you read the first two paragraphs?
He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though, he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. For I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened.
If a son asks for a bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if you ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if you ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Okay, so basically this is a story of a guy who knocks on someone's door and says, hey, give me some bread, and he says, okay, just because of his persistence and because of his nagging, I'm going to do that. I've had this numerous times, and kids are experts at nagging, experts. I remember once my son, when he was little, he said, oh, I want to go to the zoo. And I said, all right, we'll take you to the zoo. And I forgot about it. And then, so when we pray at night, he'd say, please God, make mum and dad take me to the zoo. And then he kept doing it every night, every night. I went to my husband and I said, look, we need to take him to the zoo because he's really nagging to take him to the zoo. So we took him to the zoo and he had a great time. And then he came that night and he prayed, oh, thank you God for taking me to the zoo. Please let mum and dad take me again to the zoo. Kids, you guys are experts. When you want something from your parents, you know how to nag for it. I'm sure you guys all have expertise in doing this on a regular basis. Do the same thing with God. Please, talk to him, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Can I have a female? Stephanie, can you read the last paragraph?
Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. No. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, just because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her.
So this widow, all she was doing was just nagging. And he eventually said, oh, I'm going to just give her what she wants because she is asking so much and asking consistently and persistently for it. Guys, sorry, before you move, don't rely on your own muscles. When you start the Lent, don't say, you know, I'm going to fast till 3 o'clock, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do 100 matanyas, I'm going to do this. Ask for the grace of God in whatever spiritual activity that you're doing. You will fail if you are not asking for the grace of God. I'm telling you now, whatever you do, it will fail if you're not asking for the Spirit of God to guide you and help you. And just, I'll read some final quotes. Or Mina can read it if you can share.
Battles are fought in our minds every day. When we begin to feel the battle is just too difficult and want to give up, we must choose to resist negative thoughts and be determined to rise above our problems. We must decide that we're not going to quit. When we're bombarded with doubts and fears, we must take a stand and say, I'll never give up. God's on my side, he loves me and he's helping me. I'm going to make it. And it's when God knows our situation, he will not judge us as if we had no difficulties to overcome. What matters is the sincerity and perseverance of our will to overcome them. What saves a man is to take a step and another step. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark.
Yeah, so I think by perseverance, honestly, the snail reached the ark. And God will look at you one day and he will say, have you tried? Not what result you make, but have you tried? You know, your HSC or your unis and so on and your study, they will look at your result. God will look at your effort more than your result. So keep that in mind. Whenever you are thinking about your spiritual life, keep it in mind a lot more. Any questions, guys?
No.
No, he has actually. None.
With perseverance, at what point, if you keep asking the same thing over and over and over again, and you still don't get it, at what point do you go, all right, that's enough, feel that God doesn't even have this, or do you still keep perseverance?
Okay, did you guys hear the question? So Nardine is saying, at what point do you give up? If you keep asking for something, at what point do you give up? What do you think, Miranda?
Depends what you're asking for. I think if you're asking, you know, your spirituality to be increased or to love God more, I don't think you should ever give up because the Lord is listening. If you're persevering about something that's materialistic and it's not God's way for you, you'll know the answer, and eventually He'll lead you into the direction of a thing that maybe is opposite to what you're asking for. So it just depends on what you're asking. But I think if it's your spiritual life, whether it's your prayers, whether it's your relationship with Him, I think you should never stop. Because I think the more you ask, the more He will give, and you will know that direction.
Yeah. I think if you're praying, say, for someone's repentance, as I said, I have a list of people that I pray for on a regular basis, and I'm sure everybody has a similar list. If you're praying for someone's repentance, or if you're praying for something like that, don't give up. Don't give up. But at the same time, I think treat God as your friend. Tell Him, look, if it's your will, let it happen. If it's not, then let me remove the desire from my heart. I'll ask you guys a question. How hard is it, or how easy is to persevere? How are you guys finding this, you know, from a spiritual life? You've been in Lent for 5 weeks. What do you guys think? What's hard, what's easy? Is it, are we just changing our diet? Is that all what we do?
Some spiritual if they've stopped, then it's a case of trying to pick something back up and not reading it. I think that's really, really hard to make a start. And sometimes it's just impossible. I mean, really, it never is. I'm sure we all experience it.
I think it is hard, and as long as you...
I have a question. Like, with the thing like you're saying about fast stuff, like if we like kind of set ourselves some goals and like they're a bit not extreme, but like we're trying to challenge ourselves, and we find that we keep falling, is it like should we go back to basics or do we keep persevering?
I think get guidance from your spiritual father would be the first thing that I do in terms of what goals to set for yourself. So if you're saying, you know, I'll fast every day till 3 o'clock. And then by 10 o'clock you're dying and you're not able to fast, then go to your spiritual father and say, hey, I need some help. What do I do? But get guidance from there, because the trap that you can fall into is setting goals and just becoming obsessed by the goal. But I think definitely persevere. Definitely persevere in whatever you're doing, as long as it's under the guidance of your spiritual father. Especially when you set higher targets. Sorry, I don't know your name.
When you're overly involved in all the church activities that they have during Lent, we have a quiet time, we had a spiritual revival a couple of weeks ago. When you're involved in all of that, and then that takes away from your individual quiet time, is that incorrect?
I think your individual quiet time should take priority, because sometimes, that's my opinion, but I don't know what, like, don't, the problem that we can fall into with a busy church like ours is we tend to be so involved in the activities that we forget about really our spiritual life. We're just involved in the activity. So I think it's good, but you shouldn't compromise your individual spiritual life. I think so. Again, guidance from your spiritual father. I don't know, Mina, what do you think?
I agree.
Yeah. Any questions from the female side? No?
You know the same amount of stuff. Yeah, the same amount. We don't persevere because we lose sight of the goal. Like, we forget what our end goal is. How do you stay focused on, for example, with prayer? Can you stay focused on the fact that what prayer relationship is between you and God?
I think, look, I don't know, apart from keeping reminding yourself, what am I doing this for? What is my target heaven? Keep saying, my target is heaven. Like, remind yourself with the goal all the time. It's like when people were studying and they're going, I want to score this because I want to get into this university or whatever it is, or I'm saving up because I want to buy this car. And then all of a sudden they're spending and so on. Is so restricted because they know that they're saving for a car. They know that they're doing this for a special purpose. So I think it's just keeping it in your mind all the time and continuing with it all the time. That's what monks do, if you think about it. They remind themselves, you know, they wake up in the middle of the night, they do this, the routine keeps them going, I think. I don't know, how can you not lose sight?
A very simple and practical way is reading. If I'm reading a book about prayer, you're psyched to go home and pray, you know. If I'm reading a book about investment, right, I'm psyched to see what's happening with the stock exchange and the share market and what, you know, the Reserve Bank Governor says about things. You know? So, like, whatever you input is going to lead to the If I'm always inputting materialistic things, then naturally my desires are going to be materialistic. If I'm inputting spiritual things, then my desires are going to be spiritual. So, you know, simple practical things, read about prayer. Like, avoid, you know, excess of worldly music and worldly, like, avoid excesses of the world, because then my desires are going to be inclined towards those things that are going in. So, right, to cut a long story short, reading is a very powerful and simple way to remain good.
Reading is a problem in the Coptic society, in the Egyptian society in general. Our generation doesn't read, or your generation doesn't tend to read. You just don't have the patience to sit and read a book. And as Mina said, the more you read, the more you spend time, quiet time, the more you really drive yourself and push yourself, the more that you'll be able to keep focused on that, I think. And the more you decrease the world, the more you become sensitive to things. Like, you know, you all know the story of the monk who, when someone dropped, I think, a cucumber and he ate it. Do you know that story? And he ate it and he kept repenting for 7 years. Why is that? Because he's so sensitive. It's like the scale of gold. When you have a set of scales, And you put something in them, say, for example, you know, the scales that we stand on, and you put an earring in them, it's not going to measure anything. But when you have a set of scales that measures gold and you put it in, it's 2 grams, it's going to measure it because it's so sensitive. The same way that your heart will become sensitive to spiritual life. The more that you spend time with Christ, the more that you will become sensitive to sin. Like, a little sin that you would do in the past will now affect you so much, and you say, oh, I don't feel that, I don't feel right about that. You know what I mean? So it's people listening to music, for example, or watching a lot of TV. As you get more spiritual, become, I really don't want to do that. And you become a lot more sensitive to this stuff than before, like the set of gold scales. Any other questions, guys?